Welcome to the Animation for Adults podcast. My name is Evan Vernon, here with another addition to our interview special. Today's guest is Aiko Fukushima. Aiko is a Japanese-born artist who currently resides in LA. Aiko studied music at Berklee before entering Hollywood as a composer. She has scored numerous shorts and features since leaving Berklee, and recently had a chance to work in animation. If you've heard of Stan Sakai, you probably know about his award-winning comic series, Usagi Yojimbo. Set in the Edo period, the series follows Usagi, an anthropomorphic samurai rabbit who wanders the lands of Japan. Recently, Sakai's comics were adapted into a Netflix show, Samurai Rabbit: The Usagi Chronicles. Produced by Gamut Animation, the show focuses on Yuichi, a descendant of Usagi who dreams of becoming a true samurai. To realize that dream, Yuichi must embark on an epic quest, battling various monsters, ninjas, and aliens along the way. Aiko was asked to score the show and tried to make the music truly authentic to Japanese culture, using traditional instruments, live recordings, and professional musicians as much as possible. Today, Aiko has kindly agreed to chat about Samurai Rabbit and her work as its composer. Aiko, thanks for coming. Before we get into the film, tell us about yourself. What inspired you to become a musician?
So my dad was working at the Yamaha and my mom was a piano teacher. So it's just music, like doing music, learning how to play piano, taking lessons, just it came natural to me when I was a child. And the reason that I wanted to get into the film scoring was that I really enjoyed watching the movie and I really enjoyed how I felt by the music. And I was surrounded by music and also the image. And I thought that it was really special experience, and I didn't know that the music can impact me or anybody so much. And I found out that I was going to become a jazz composer, and I went to Berklee College of Music. I grew up in Japan, and I came to school in the U.S. and I went to Berklee College of Music, and I found out that there is a film scoring program, and I started film scoring program there instead of jazz. I still love jazz, and that's my love, but I started film scoring over there.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Aiko. You said that you you studied at Berklee, of course, and then I think did some training through Sundance too. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like, at least when you started your education, composing was kind of the end goal. Am I right in saying that you kind of aspired to be doing what you're doing now when you went to school?
Yes, that's true. Yes, I got lucky to do Sundance, and I also did the BNY fellowship with my host, so who's a composer for Law and Order, and that led me to stay here in LA.
Well, you're classically trained, which is interesting, because depending on the film or the series, you don't always associate classical music with film scoring. But tell us a bit about how you view the relationship. And I think this will be a good segue into Samurai Rabbit, the relationship between music and film. How do you see music as a storytelling device that really helps you bring the images on screen to life?
Oh, that's interesting, because of what we do, we get to see the movie or TV shows without any music. It's just a dialogue or sound effect or just a background noise. And when we put the music, it just adds the story, like something. So we were just adding something, the layer of in the story. And sometimes the directors get really cautious about, oh, I don't want anybody to feel anything. So it depends on the story, but we think that we add something to the whole art.
I'm preaching to the choir, but music really drives the the emotion, the pathos of the story, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, Aiko. You're I think you're at least the first composer that I've interviewed. I don't know if we featured any other musicians on this podcast or not in the past few years, but time and again, whenever we talk to directors or producers about what makes their film or their series successful, the composer is almost always credited in some way, shape, or form. You know, what you folks do is so critical. So really looking forward to watching Samurai Rabbit.
Okay.
But yeah, so to tell us a bit about this project, what drew you to Samurai Rabbit? How were you approached for the project?
I was taking a entertainment career seminar like about 5 or 6 years ago. And I met this amazing writer, producer. Her name is Sherry Ellis. And she was there in the program with me. And she was really serious and very, she was really good at everything that she did. And she wanted to keep us going. The program ended in about a year, but she wanted to keep in touch and also do the check-in monthly with four other producer, writer type women. And so we had the monthly meeting and we were checking in with each other. What are you doing? And what like if you wanted to check in each other's work, we did that for that. So we met that. And we were still meeting after 5 years. And this amazing woman, Sherry, she happened to be working for Samurai Rabbit at early on and at the Gaumont Films. And she introduced me to the production company that because I'm Japanese and it's like Yojimbo is about the Japanese, Stan Sakai is Japanese. So she thought that it might be a good fit. And they called me and I got to audition. I wrote four pieces and they liked my piece and I got the gig. But I have to tell you the story that so they wanted to, they went through different types of music before they found me.
Interesting.
They wanted to do some electronic music only or they tried different route. But so when they came to me, they wanted me to do Japanese traditional, like they wanted me to incorporate Japanese traditional music or Japanese traditional instruments. And I recorded a taiko player in town, a really amazing taiko player called Isaku Kageyama. And they didn't want any Hollywood 10-man taiko, like action type music that you hear usually for the Asian Japanese samurai movies. And they wanted something different. So I recorded this amazing taiko player, Isaku, and I made him play three different taikos, but just himself. In this studio in North Hollywood. And I recorded that and I put that in my music. The music that I wrote for that pitch, I didn't have the music until like 10 minutes before the session. Basically, 10 minutes I recorded him because I couldn't come up with anything and I was really trying. But I really had to go to see him because I'm recording him and I already booked him. And I was I was seeing the scene so many times, but finally I said to myself that, oh, I can't really watch this anymore. So I know what's going on in my head. So I'm just going to go for it because I have to finish or I have to come up with something. Otherwise I can't record anything. So, and I just stopped watching and I just played something and I just knew that I had something. And I was so nervous and I was in tears when I finished because I was so nervous to not finish. But I just, at the same time, I felt like I had something.
Yeah.
That's how I got this job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that certainly attests to your skill as an artist that you were able to think on your feet, you know, and do so well, you know, when that moment of truth came. And, you know, Netflix is so fortunate to have you on board, Aiko. You know, it's interesting. I'm not an expert on Stan Sakai, but, you know, having read a bit about him and his comics, it seems like he's very, very much, he's very concerned about authenticity in his storytelling, about making all of the architecture, the history, the folklore that's referenced in his work, true to life and believable, which sounds like something that you've tried to do through your music. Can you tell us just a little bit more about that? How do you try to make your music for Samurai Rabbit as believable, respectful, and authentic as possible?
So that I wrote the themes for all the characters, most of the characters. Like I wrote the theme for main characters and the sub characters, and also I wrote the theme for situations. Like when they go to this place, you hear this music, or when you go to this place, or this, when you are fighting with this kind of creatures, you hear this kind of music. And I grew up in Japan, and I listened to like the temple bells or the music from like festivals or, you know, summer festival, or that kind of music was just in everyday life. And that was in me. So it was kind of natural for me to come up with Japanese sensibility themes. And that was really a lot of fun for me. And also, I grew up listening to Japanese traditional instrument. You know, you just hear that in some places or on TV or on some festival or some kind of ceremony. And I just, but those instruments are learning and also performing Japanese traditional instrument is like a lifestyle. It's not the hobby. Right, and it takes a lifetime of learning, and also sometimes it's just carried from the families, like generations of families. Like it was really like almost a sacred. Some of the instruments are just carried from the family, and you can't really learn or any, you know, that kind of stuff. And they have so much history. So, and I have so much respect in that, and also, but I have to also record remotely because of the situation right now. And so it was a little bit of challenge to find somebody that who is a master of the instrument, and also they can record
right
to the professional quality. But I had really found many Japanese traditional instrumentalists in different places, Japan, and also I found a biwa player, amazing biwa player in Spain, and I found some amazing shakuhachi player in Switzerland, and I was just recording around the clock and around the world. Yeah, so I hope that I'm representing my culture right and with authenticity.
It's not for me to say, but based on what you've just described, Aqua, it sounds like you are, and I really just have to commend you for the lengths you went to. For the lengths you went to make it authentic, you know.
I found people because we couldn't find any player of certain instrument, like koku is very rare instrument, but we found my husband also who helped me produce this show, he's a composer also, and we found somebody on YouTube, and we just stalked him. Like we couldn't find the contact info, but we just found his contact info finally, and we used his performance a lot, and he's amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing, Aiko. You're offering some great insight into authentic storytelling. You know, it takes an authentic storyteller to tell an authentic story, right? And you've really done that from you know, top to bottom, not only through how the music is written, but also through how it's performed, you know, with these very meticulously vetted professionals who sought out to play these instruments. So
And the sample instruments didn't sound good. So we just had to record live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, did you collaborate with Stan Sakai at all? I know he's not a composer, but during the...
I wish I did. I think he was approving my music, you know, somewhere in the, I don't know where, but I think he was the most important producer, but I haven't seen him or met him. So he maybe said, okay.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it is, really inspiring to see such dynamic mm-hmm. storytellers, two very dynamic storytellers collaborate.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He's working so amazing.
You've scored for some shorts and some other films in the past, Aiko, but if I'm not mistaken, this is really your first major Hollywood film, I think, that you've mm-hmm. composed for. So you have a lot ahead of you, your music is now really kind of being brought to the fore. Where do you see yourself in the future after Samurai Rabbit? Can you tell us about any projects you're working on or any aspirations you have?
I will be working on some Disney short films and some other things. I'm just now working on a commercial for Adobe, but I feel like my work just takes me to places that I should be doing, sort of, because I didn't specify that, I want this, but the Samurai Rabbit just came to me, and I just felt like it was really hard at first, but the project went, I felt like it was my dream job, because I felt like I'm the only person who could do this, almost. I felt like, I will just do 100% of my craft and my imagination and my vision, and that's what I can do, and I will see what will just happen afterwards, or what will come to me next. And I'm just hoping that I can do something so meaningful and also really nice to look at for the future too, because it was really amazing to work on this particular project because of visually, and also the story was really great. I really loved that the story is based on the friendship and not violent at all, even though there's samurai, but so I really appreciate that I had this opportunity to score some of that.
Yeah, well, Aiko, I think it goes without saying that, it's been a privilege having you on the podcast, and we really look forward to seeing Samurai Rabbit. You talk about, I'll end with this question, you talk about finding work that is meaningful. It sounds like, as an artist, you're really striving to create content that is, edifying in some way, content that maybe inspires people and teaches them things that they wouldn't otherwise know. I wasn't familiar with any of the instruments that you just told me about, but now I am. And that's kind of opened my eyes to another side of music and another side of the world, really, culturally. I don't want to lead the question, but what do you hope to accomplish through your music? How do you want your work to touch people?
It's a really big thing to say that the music touches people. But I'm also, I founded a Japanese children's choir in LA at my daughter's school. And I'm learning, and also I'm experienced that, like, by doing it also, that because kids don't really have any filter, like, they don't really think about, if I say this or if I do this, somebody might think this way. They're just a sponges, like they will just soak up whatever that I present them. If I don't put 100% music, they know, they react to that. And when they sing in front of the audience, which was like more than 2 years ago, because we haven't really done anything, but when we had the performance, people started to come up to me afterwards crying. And I was like, why is this person crying? And they were just saying that, this was really great, that they couldn't help themselves from crying or having tears in their eyes. And I felt really deeply, like a deep connection of music and the feeling and the whole experience. And I'm really hoping that my music can influence a little of somebody's life, that can, if my music can make somebody laugh or somebody smile or somebody to feel something, this is weird, that's what I would like to do. So I'm just, but I can't really control other people. So I'm just trying my best and my 150% to present my music and what I just do whatever I can do to make the music that I believe, so that maybe someday or sometime that can reach people.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know about the children's choir. That's amazing. You know, you could be inspiring the next generation of composers or you know, famous vocalists. Who knows? You know, that I mean, sharing wonderful art is amazing in itself. But teaching people to become artists or unleash their inner artist is tremendously.
Yeah, that's a really great way of saying that. Unleash the inner artist. That's amazing. Yeah, I really feel that way. Yes.
Well, Aiko, it's really been a pleasure speaking with you. It sounds like you have a servant's heart, and you know, it goes without saying that you're very gifted and very good at what you do. So thanks for your time. For all those tuning in, if you'd like to watch Samurai Rabbit, it is available to stream globally on Netflix from April 28th. Be sure to catch it so you can witness a great story and some wonderful composing. But Aiko, all the best to you in the future. Hope to speak with you again, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Ivan.
Hey there, guys, and thank you again for tuning into this episode of the AFA Podcast. If you want to stay up to date with the latest animation news, reviews, and animator interviews, check out the main website at animationforadults.com. Best way to keep an eye out for new and shiny stuff would be to follow us on our social media accounts at Twitter at AFA Blog, Facebook, Pinterest, Tumblr, and Instagram. You're also welcome to go through our podcast catalog wherever you stream your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Acast. We are always looking for feedback, so feel free to leave us a review, rating, or even send us a voice message via our Anchor page. Or you can even drop us a line at podcasts@animationforadults.com. If you want to support the podcast and the website by proxy, then please zip over to our Patreon page and check out our rewards for becoming a patron. Or if you just want to do us a one-time donation, you can go check out our Ko-fi page and buy us a virtual cup of coffee. Every little bit helps. And as always, I gotta give a shout-out to our friends at Animation Nights New York, a very special monthly screening event for some of the coolest animated short films and VR experiences from around the world, curated by industry experts and amazing staff who are striving to connect new talent through both live and virtual events. For more information, check them out at www.animationnights.com. Until next time, see you, Space Cowboy.